Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
In December last year, Federal Attorney General Robert McClellan launched the National Human Rights Consultation to seek community views on human rights in Australia. One proposal of that consultation, promoted strongly in some quarters, is a Charter of Human Rights. Now, it sounds fair enough, doesn't it? Who would say that a list of human rights is actually a bad thing? Well, ironically, there are actually a number of voices, both religious and political, who warn that a Charter of Rights could lead to anything but freedom. Amongst them is Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby, who's with us now. Jim, welcome to Open House again.
G'day, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You know, we need to clarify some terms because this issue can get really complex. In fact, I was speaking to somebody this week who said, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why we're not talking about it too much or hearing too much about it in the media. It can be a bit of a complex issue. Now, the government has ruled out the possibility of a constitutional Bill of Rights, but a federal Charter of Rights is a possibility, and it's actually been recommended by the consultation committee. Mm. Now, explain the difference between those two phrases and what power a Charter of Rights actually would have.
Yeah, well, the difference is essentially that a Bill of Rights is in your is a legal document. You know, it's ensconced in law as legislation, which all legislation has to be consistent with and has to be consistent with. If however, you have a Charter of Rights, then generally you set up someone who's an independent arbiter who will come back to you and say, look, this particular law is not up to scratch. It doesn't meet the requirements of the Charter, and therefore you should go away and look at this. Parliament, you should go away and have consider this and see whether you might change it. So, in other words, you can't be directed that it's or you can be told it's inconsistent, but you can't be directed to change it as the Parliament.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people say because of that, that there's nothing to fear in this because Parliament always has the last say. But the trouble is that if you've got a Equal Opportunities Commissioner, for instance, as we have in the ACT, who's telling Parliament that their law is not consistent with the Charter of Rights, then that's a very strong moral pressure to actually amend the law, you know, and it's almost impossible to conceive that parliaments wouldn't respond to that.
Mm, okay. Well, the Australian Human Rights Commission believes that we should have a Charter of Rights because while some human rights are already protected, many are not, and they list things like the right to life, freedom from torture, the right to equality before the law, the right to liberty and security of person, freedom from discrimination on the basis of race or sex. Now, all of those things sound like good things. So why are you concerned?
Well, that's right. Of course they're good things. You know, it was interesting to me that just as we were leading into the tonight that you, if I heard it right, actually played something from Martin Luther King.
Mm.
And, you know, you've only got to consider the fact that America had a constitutional Bill of Rights, so therefore a stronger instrument, you know, for something close to, I think, 150 years before African-Americans actually managed to get equal rights, you know. So you've got to ask yourself that this is the case, you know, what was the great advantage of this Bill of Rights? What would be the great advantage of a Charter of Rights?
Mm.
Some of the things you mentioned there, for instance, racial equality, I think, was one. I mean, we have race discrimination acts, you know. And it's much better from our point of view to have a specific piece of law which addresses a specific area of discrimination and corrects it. You know?
Mm.
If you have these very general instruments, then what happens is they simply become, they really address nothing, just as the American Bill of Rights didn't address the situation for African-Americans for something like 150 years. At the same time, if they're very general, then they become a mechanism through which those people who want to advance agendas, which they know won't be accepted through the political process, or they won't achieve their end through the political process, then use them to do it. For instance, the issue of same-sex marriage will definitely be pursued on the basis of it being a right, a human right, under the Charter of Rights. You know,
mm-hmm.
But this is something that society should decide. That's why we have a democratic process.
Mm. Okay. Hold the line for a second, Jim, because one person who also is against a Charter of Human Rights is former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr, who is on the line. Bob Carr, welcome to Open House.
Good evening.
Can you give me, in a nutshell, your great concerns about a Charter of Rights? When we actually have the Commission actually suggesting that a Charter would be a good thing, that we actually don't have anything that's saying specifically that we have a right to life, a freedom from torture, the right to equality before the law, the right to liberty and security, etc., etc. You're quite a vocal opponent to any sort of Charter of Rights. What are your feelings and why?
Well, I believe that Australia is one of the freest countries in the world. We've got no apologies to make to any other nation when it comes to the freedom that Australians enjoy. We're one of the freest countries in the world, and we can be proud of that. What a Charter of Rights or a Bill of Rights is a list of lofty sentiments, and they all sound magnificent, like freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of movement, the right to property, the right to privacy, the right to life, and all the rest. No one could disagree with those propositions. Mm. But what do they mean in practice? And when you've got a charter, the people who determine what it means in practice are unelected judges. And a charter represents a very significant shift of power in our society from elected parliaments and from the people to non-elected judges. And if I can just give you one example. There's a prospect that the churches in New South Wales may be brought under the Anti-Discrimination Act. This was back when I was Premier. Mm-hmm. I had a visit from the Catholic Cardinal, the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, who expressed their concern about it. And I said, it was my view that churches should be exempt from the Anti-Discrimination Act. If you're setting up a Baptist or an Islamic school, you ought to be able to discriminate in favour of one of your co-religionists when you come to appointing a principal. Mm. And I was able to say to them that while I headed a government in New South Wales, the churches wouldn't be brought under the Anti-Discrimination Act for that reason. But if you've got a Charter of Rights, it's not an elected politician who'll make a decision like that. It is a bench of unelected judges.
Mm. And so the idea that even though they would still kind of sit under the government, as Jim Wallace was saying before, the question is raised, well, would a government ever kind of overturn something that actually would be seen to be a break of human rights? Is that your feeling too, that maybe even though it would actually be under the government, you know, what government would actually go and overturn something that was judged by the
state? So the people who weren't able to get a powerful Bill of Rights entrenched in the Australian Constitution, because the Australian people in 1988 rejected it, and rejected it by majorities of up to 70% in every state and territory. I mean, that's the position the people take, because they understand implicitly that one, Australia is the freest country, one of the freest countries in the world, and two, there's a lot of concern with justification about giving more power to non-elected judges. And as a result of the Australian people being opposed to a Bill of Rights, its supporters have sort of sneaked in round the back way and said, oh, well, look, we'll settle for a Charter of Rights. That is something not in the Constitution, but established by legislation. Yet, if you've got that, then you've got a situation where, as you put it, the Parliament, even while in theory it's got the power, would be very reluctant to overrule judges. Yes. So that in Canada, for example, where you've got a small religious sect practicing polygamy, you've got the state legislature hesitating to take any action against it under the law, because they expect that in the court, judges will say, no, freedom of religion. Mm. We can't interfere. And I think there are a lot of examples out of the Canadian jurisdiction, out of the British jurisdiction, that show politicians very reluctant, even when there's a very strong case, to overrule a lofty decision handed down by the highest court.
Well, one of the stories that I actually read that you had recounted was a factory owner in Britain who a bunch of gypsies had actually pulled down one of the walls to his property and had kind of camped out, and yet he had to pay some sort of damages afterwards.
Yeah, he wanted to go to the police. He did go to the police and say, look, I've got these travellers or gypsies camped on my factory land. They pulled down the wire fence. And the police said, look, it would not be worth our trouble, because we'd be taken to court under the guarantee of freedom of movement that's in the British Charter of Rights, and we'd be done over in the court. So what that points to is a phenomenon where, if you've got a Charter of Rights, then not only are politicians reluctant to overrule judges when judges hand down something the community doesn't want. But you've got the bureaucrats, in this case the police, anticipating getting done in the courts by the same judges. And you've got a process of judicial creep and bureaucratic creep that reflects under a charter or under a Bill of Rights. You have powers taken away from parliaments and the people and given to non-elected judges.
Bob Carr, let me read just a couple of the statements that the Australian Human Rights Commission gives as reasons why they believe we do need a charter of human rights in Australia. They say, asylum seekers, including children, have been detained in immigration detention centres indefinitely or for prolonged periods of time. Australian citizens and others entitled to live in Australia have been illegally detained or deported. Anti-terrorism laws have infringed fundamental human rights without sufficient consideration of whether they are necessary. Sedition laws have limited freedom of speech. What's your response to those kinds of arguments saying that we need a charter to actually stop these kinds of things from happening again?
Well, I strongly dispute that our anti-terrorism statutes have created any unreasonable limits at all. In the wake of September 11, in the wake of Bali, the community wanted those protections, and there are adequate checks and balances in them, and Parliament debated, especially in the Senate, and in the state parliaments, long and hard. But when Parliament enacted them, I believe they had the backing of the public. When it comes to the example of the treatment of refugees, don't forget there was a revolt in John Howard's party room about the treatment of children in detention centres, and he was forced to change his policies. The people ultimately spoke, and they replaced the Howard government, notwithstanding its stand on refugees for some voters because of its stand on refugees. But there's an additional argument, and that is that some of the advocates of a Charter of Rights are acknowledging that its provisions would not apply on Christmas Island. They would not apply to stateless people. So I believe that the treatment of refugees... Let me give you another example back on terrorism. Without a Bill of Rights, without a Charter of Rights, Dr. Hanif, who I believe was badly treated by the federal police, was able to win his case in court in Australia. Mm-hmm. America, with a Bill of Rights, still has a Guantanamo Bay. Now, again, we've got to think about what the agenda is here, and I believe it's a deliberate, as Jim Wallace said, a deliberate attempt to shift powers from elected parliaments to the courts. People don't think they can win some of their agenda in parliaments, and they want to see decisions made by unelected judges. And I'd strongly urge listeners of this program who agree with Jim and I to make a representation to their local Member of Parliament saying we're very concerned about moves for a Charter of Rights in this country, and to write to Father Frank Brennan, who's heading the inquiry, and express the view that they're concerned that he might be recommending one.
Okay. Bob Carr, thank you for your time at Open House tonight. Really appreciate it.
Could I conclude with one final argument?
Sure.
And it occurred to me recently. America's got a Charter of Rights, a Bill of Rights, entrenched in its Constitution, a powerful document. America's got capital punishment. It's got judicial murder with over 1,000 people on death rows in the United States. Mm. Australia hasn't got a Charter of Rights, but we don't have capital punishment. And I think that's a king hit against those who say Australia's not as free as it should be, and we rectify that by having a Charter of Rights.
Okay. Bob Carr, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's good to talk to you. All right, Jim, let me just come back to you just to the end there. And just when it comes to the Christians listening and the Christian population, the church population, any further things that you'd like to add when it comes to this whole Charter of Rights for Australia idea?
Yes, look, there is, Sheridan, and it's to give a very live example of what Bob Carr's just said. He mentioned the example of anti-discrimination laws during his time as Premier of New South Wales. Now, we have had a Charter of Rights at the state level passed in Victoria. Within 1 month of that being passed, and I believe it was, in fact, the first thing done under Charter of Rights in Victoria, we had a review of the very exemptions that Bob Carr has spoken about against anti-discrimination laws for churches and church organisations, so for Christian schools, for instance. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting the outcome of that review, but it certainly looks like it's going the wrong way, and that churches will lose the right to discriminate, as he pointed out, on employment, so that if you're a Christian school, then you might have to employ a Muslim who applies, or if you're a Muslim school, you might have to employ a Christian who applies. Now, it's clearly ridiculous, you know, but it's the sort of nonsense you get when you have a Charter of Rights, and we've simply got to make sure we don't have it. And I would encourage everybody, as Bob Carr has said, to get on to the website for the Human Rights Commission and to make sure they get a submission in about this very important issue.
Yes, okay. Because even if it didn't actually turn out to be a successful claim, it sounds like a lot of lawyers are going to be making a lot of money with these kinds of things because I guess religious organisations, Christian and other religious organisations, could be very vulnerable for just that fact, what you're just saying. Somebody could bring something against the Human Rights Act, right, saying, no, I'm a Muslim, I should be employed in a Christian school. I'm a Christian, I should be employed in a Muslim school. And even if it doesn't, it just doesn't prove successful, it could be a very long and very costly court battle.
And what you've got to realise is there's an organisation in the United States where I've just returned from 10 days in the United States, and there's an organisation called the American Civil Liberties Union. This organisation makes an absolute business of going and scaring people like Christian schools and saying to them, look, if you don't, for instance, stop the Christmas pageant that you're about to have, then we will take this to court under the Bill of Rights, you know, because it's a matter of freedom of religion that other people shouldn't have to sit in a school production during education of a pageant, a Christmas pageant. Now, schools, knowing that they can't possibly defend this because of the cost of defending it, just pull the Christmas pageant, for instance.
Mm.
Now, there are all sorts of you know, examples like that. There's a just clear lunacy.
Mm.
But you're dead right. Once you have one of these instruments, then particularly churches which can't afford to defend themselves will
be forced
to always back down in the face of a challenge from organisations that are very well funded and well organised.
Yes, okay. Jim, good to talk to you. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you, Sharon.
Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby. All right, you've got Jim Wallace from the ACL and then former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr. There are only two of a number of voices who are actually saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. This whole idea of a Charter of Rights for Australia could actually be more harm than good. So we've actually set something up on our website, theopenhouse.net.au. All the submissions to the National Human Rights Consultation on this actually have to be in by June 15. So we've set up a whole heap of links there, of various articles for and against, but also some contacts there as to making your submission. If you're a little bit concerned as to what you've heard, make some action, set up to the way, go to the website, click on the Open House .net.au, find the details there and put in your submission by June 15. All the links are there.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.